The Newcastle County Finance Committee FY 2016 Special Services Budget Hearing to Order. Currently present in the room are councilpersons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Diller, Retta. I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chair of finance. Ms. Finnegan is taking the minutes. As you speak, please identify yourself first and then move forward. Sir? Are we beginning with?
We'll begin with the sewer.
With the sewer?
Big pot sport.
Okay. Hold one moment. We also have now as present in the room, Council President Bullock. So can I have a motion on the public safety budget minutes?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Those not voting? You're up again.
Okay, very good. I'd like to, there are many faces here that I'm sure most of you have seen, but I'd like to go around the room so everybody can introduce themselves and what section of the department they are with. And we will start with the Honorable John Husbands.
Honorable special suspect.
Did you say honorable?
Oh, we're sorry. Sorry, you said honorable.
It's part of the comedy routine.
New guy came in.
Engineering and Environmental Compliance Division Manager.
Jason Norita, Special Services Fiscal.
Kathy DeCristofaro, Finance Officer, Special Services.
Paul Johnson, Property Manager.
Next, maybe Internal Services.
Kelly Tomchuk, HR Administrator.
Regis Sherwood, Plant Operator.
Perry Nahi, Building Maintenance Operator.
Tony Schiavi, Environmental Operations Division Manager.
Tracy Searle, Sewers and Stormwater.
Bill Suter.
Paul Freeze, Administration.
Dave Clark, Engineering.
Rob Roth, Sewer Maintenance.
Jim Hedrick, Chief of Construction Support.
Mike Harris, Environmental Compliance Manager.
Johnny Gupp, Transportation Manager.
Jason Searle, Operations Engineer.
Okay, that represents.
Councilman Cartier, Newcastle County Council is present. Now I'm.
Thank you.
Okay. Starting with the sewer fund budget for 2016, page 2 of the yellow book.
Put down 51.
You'll see that we have 196.5 positions. It's the same as last year. Just to give you a sense over time, about a decade ago, that number was 20 personnel higher. So we didn't shrink this year, but we've shrunk consistently over the last 10 years. 1.5 of those positions are capital funded. Page 3 gives you the trends of our budget. There's not been a lot of up and down. This year, the budget is going up just over 2%. Page 4, in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see the pie chart, which gives you the sense, and this is different than you'll see substantially from the general fund. Between sewer maintenance, construction support, and plant operations, it's anywhere from 15 to 19% of our budget, and that's personnel costs and the operations. The largest chunk of the sewer budget, obviously, is environmental compliance. And of that, you will see that the largest chunk of that is about $18.5 million for payment to the Wilmington Wastewater Treatment Plant. And again, back on the bottom right-hand pie chart, the personnel costs are about 37% of our department, but communication utilities, which again covers the environmental compliance costs to the Wilmington Wastewater Treatment Plant, is about 43% on their budget. Page 5, again, the personnel chart. Show you how we've trended down, been pretty constant the last 3 years, 4 years, actually. Page 6 is our diversity within special services, the sewer side of the house. You'll find that the diversity breakdown is approximately 81.6% white, 14.9% black, and 3.4% Hispanic. You also noticed that the diversity is not there when it comes between males and females. We have only 10.5 females 132, I'm sorry. Actually, it's 13 half females. And about 160 males. We go to page 8, you'll find our full-time seasonal employees.
Councilman Howell, you're doing this?
And our part-time seasonals, this was as of, I believe, the end of 2014. There were a total of 15 seasonals we have on board, and the percentages, I think it's about 53% black. 46% white. Page 9. Again, this is just an overview, and we'll get into particulars on the next page. Salary and wages within the sewer portion of our budget goes up just under 3%. The employee benefit, and that's largely due to merit increases. The employee benefits package went up 1.5%, so with the merit increase and the 1.5%, it comes out to about a 4.65% increase over last year's employee benefit package. Not a whole lot of money in the training and civic affairs. Most of the training and civic affairs dollars are covered within our general fund, but that's a small reduction, $300. Communication utilities, a reduction of about $20,000, but again, it's 0.1%. Material supplies goes up slightly, about 3%. Contractual services down slightly, just under 3%. Equipment replacement increase from last year of about $15,000. Under fixed charges, it goes up $100,000. That specifically has been an issue that the council's been dealing with and we've been dealing with for several years on the Fox Point Park settlement, and that's the beginning of 5 years of payments to the state. Land and structure down about $10,000, and the intergovernmental services costs for us have gone up about $357,000, leading to an overall increase of our budget of just over 2%. Okay, page 10, we get into the particulars. Salary and wage for permanent employees increased by $287,000. Merit increases, reduction of attrition rate, and the, those are about the two basic reasons. The salary and wage overtime has gone up $23,000. That's simply historical. Need for increased overtime in various sections. The largest expense, obviously, is one of the largest expenses, our employee salary and wage, just over $10 million in the sewer fund. And the salary and wages for overtime is slightly over $1 million. Employee benefits, the increase, largest chunk is $195,000, again, due to the merit increases. And the increase in the benefit package from 51.3 to 52.8, 1.5% increase. And the overall costs of our benefit package to the sewer is $5.4 million. Under training and civic affairs, again, I mentioned it's a 10% decrease, but it's very small dollars. Membership dues is about $2,000. The communication utilities, small decrease of $20,000. Specifically, water service reduced by $5,000 due to a historical decrease that had been identified. The largest decrease in that section was $45,000 due to the fact in our previous sewer service to Middletown, with our reversal of Boyd's Corner, force main, so that we can carry everything down to Water Farm One, save us $45,000 this year in payments. The significant, most significant chunk of money that we spend out of our sewer fund is the Wilmington wastewater treatment plant fees, which is $18.5 million. The next largest chunk happens to be $1.4 million for electrical services for a pump station. Under material and supplies, increase of 3.3%, $38,000. We have some reductions. Motor fuel, we reduce by $5,000. Chemical supplies by $5,000. The largest increase is the equipment repair supplies, $31,500, and that's due to aging equipment. More supplies for repairs of those pieces of equipment. Major expenses within that line happen to be the construction and lumber materials used by construction support, approximately $420,000. Ag and chemical supplies used by construction support plant ops. Equipment repair supplies, $251,000 for plant ops and sewers, and $107,000 for electrical and plumbing supplies used largely by our plant ops. Under contractual services, there was a $96,000 reduction. This was offset by a DENREC grant, which we got for our water quality improvement program. There's also a reduction that you find under service contracts on the right-hand side, $54,418. That really was moved over into our radio and communications since it was identified that that's usually where we were spending the money on. There was a $51,000 reduction in attorney fees. And again, since we received our permit, we've completed our negotiations with EPA, so that worked out fairly well. Significant expenses in the contractual service line, $405,000 for vehicle and equipment repairs. About half of the amount goes to flow meters, also repairs of generators and pumps within plant operations. The $2.8 million under other professional services, of that about $1.7 million are dollars which are dedicated to our CMOM program, which we've talked about with council several times. And about $1.1 million goes into our fog and to the hydrogen sulfide program treatment by plant ops. Another big ticket item, engineering services, $737,000. A great deal of that will be used by environmental compliance for our NIFTES permit requirement. Under equipment replacement, $15,000 increase over last year. Communications and safety equipment, one of the largest parts of that $11,000 would be for replacing some of our flagging safety equipment. Major items, portable fixed special purpose machinery, it's $111,000. That's fixing pumps, generators, blowers, building equipment, again, fans, motors, pumps, and safety equipment at $55,000. They'll be replacing gas meters, tripods, face shields, personal protective equipment. Under the fixed charges, the settlement of $100,000, again, is the Fox Point Park settlement with DENREC. Again, first of five $100,000 payments to them. And on other significant expenses, we have the mandated grants by state code for the Newcastle County, Newcastle Conservation District, which is $120,000. And we have a pass-through grant for the University of Delaware Water Resource Agency annually, 73-6. Under land and structures, 26%. Sounds good, but it's actually $10,000 decrease. And those are manhole covers, which we still believe we'll need next year. We have sufficient on hand or dollars to make additional purchases. Last but not least is the IGS costs, increase of $357,000. Largest part of that are those cost charges for our vehicles, a $297,000 increase this year. And we're just under $2.5 million for fleet vehicle costs. The data processing is the next highest chunk of money that we spend in that category, just over $650,000. Questions about that section?
Councilwoman Kovacic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've talked about this before, but $18 million to Wilmington Treatment Plant is an exorbitant percentage of this budget. Are we getting into the plant any better these days than what we were before?
Negotiations have been ongoing for the last couple of years.
There like 10 or 20? Is that you want to define couple?
Well, the current negotiations.
Okay.
You're right. It is a constant negotiation with Wilmington. There's been more of an openness this time around, I think, than our previous negotiations. Negotiations are headed up by the county attorney. It may be worthwhile sometime in the near future for council to sit down with the county attorney so he can bring everybody up to speed where we stand.
You could probably put that on an agenda. I have one more question, is that okay?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out quickly. Usually we discuss it under special services, how they can put it
in. Oh, so either special services, I mean financial, so it would either be him or...
We can put it on. I guess we got a topic for next week.
Yep. We can invite the county attorney for next week. We kept open the agenda for next week for anything that may come out of this meeting.
So. Okay, well, there's number one.
That's pretty good insight.
Right. Councilman Powers has joined us.
The other question that I have is we're showing a decrease of $45,000 for the sewer service to Middletown, but to offset that, we spent $1 million running the line.
In capital, that's correct.
Yes.
Versus operation.
So we're starting to get
it's a long term.
So it's like a 20 some year repayment.
The revenue, all revenue coming in for any future sewers will be coming directly to us, and we'll not have to go to the city of town, Middletown, for their capital costs, or the city of Middletown.
It's the city, yeah. Population.
Did you wish to add something?
Yeah, Dave Delgrande, Office of Finance. The main thing that we're saving on is the capital recovery fee that we were paying the town of Middletown for sewer service to the town. Approximately is about $10,000 per connection per household. We were giving this town about two-thirds of that every time a house went up to the system. So now that two-thirds is staying on our side and it's going towards our own sewer infrastructure. That's the big savings.
So would that be revenue or liability?
It's revenue.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Clear it up as we move forward a little bit at a time.
That's all we have.
Councilman Cartier.
Regarding the sewer agreement with the city of Wilmington, with all the work going on in Brandywine 100, it would seem that the overall amount of water flowing into that treatment plant should be going down. Is there a metering actually capturing actual total flows going into the Wilmington treatment plant?
Looking around.
Thank
you. Feel free.
Tracy Searles, Special Services. We do have meters at the various points, pump stations that go into the city's treatment plant.
Right.
One of the main issues in the negotiations is using the metered flow, strength and flow. I think you've heard this before, versus what the city uses. Billing under recent sewer agreements has been based on assumptions based on water usages, which we don't believe accurately reflects what's going into the system. So yes, we do have the meters and we think that's a more accurate reflection, and it would actually reduce what we're paying to the city versus right. The assumptions they use. Specifically, have we seen our water go down with Granny 100? Not significantly, I don't think, to date. Sometimes what happens is, even though we're keeping the INI out, we're also closing holes in the system where some of our water was, you know, leaving. So we haven't seen a significant change in what's going to the city. Does that make sense?
That's more complicated than you can ever imagine. So,
that's correct.
To follow on, regarding our fuel costs, are we locked into contracts that guarantee us a price? And it's you're showing a decrease here. So you're buying on a spot market and getting a discounted price, because, you know, we all know fuels have taken a big, you know, downward, you know, price has really gone down tremendously. So how does that work?
It's been going up
dramatically. Spiked last night.
Yeah. A little bit.
The station I got filled up my tank last night. I'm glad I filled it up last night because it was 10 cent a gallon more as I moved the other way.
But overall, it's a big decrease from a year ago.
I'll defer to finance.
Dave Delgrande, finance office. I'm not the overall expert in this area, but essentially we pay the price that comes in at the port, which is essentially the price you see on the streets minus about 50 or 60 cents a gallon, which takes out all the taxes that everyone pays. So we pay whatever the rate is coming in at the port at that time when we make the purchase. So it's and we have a contract. We go through the state's program, which keeps us tied into that rate. So if the price goes down, we're great. If the price goes up, we pay whatever the price happens to be that day.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, if not, we'll move. I'm sorry.
Kevin Powers.
I just got a question. Just for the, where's the fuel coming from? Since it's coming in the port.
Wherever. I'm 100% sure. I want to say Philadelphia. We can check in today.
And I guess with the refineries closing all over the Delaware. I'm just really wondering. I mean, is it coming from Louisiana or is it coming down the river?
It's coming from the river. Yes. I'll get you with
it. Just something that was said when I first came in on Water Farm diverting from Middletown. I know that Middletown for the past year has been pretty upset because it was looking as a cash cow to them to have it diverted away. So every time they've laid off anybody in the town, they've blamed it on the county. So they're the calls I get. Is we lost our job because the county took the sewage away from us. So I know they were, I know the recovery is probably not going to take as long, especially with all the houses coming online. So, yep. Thanks.
Okay. No other questions. We'll go to page 13, under accomplishments. We've implemented CityWorks, which is our new work order system, which replaced the old Hansen system. Allows the department to better assess performance and implement our asset management program. We have started engineering, our construction support and sewer sections are working full-time on it. Plan ops is the next section, which we're working to hopefully become operational in the next couple months. We'll be starting our kickoff to phase three, which will be our facilities maintenance and parks, entering into to the CityWorks program. Some of the projects which various sections have undertaken over the past year, our construction support section, we moved and replaced approximately 3,700 square yards of blacktop at the Churchman Complex, fuel pump area, crews installed 1,285 tons of bituminous concrete. And for that $177,000, it was approximately 24% less than had we taken it to an outside vendor to perform that job. As many of you know, Councilman Retta, we completed a drainage rehabilitation project on the old Capitol Trail at the library. Total cost $69,599. We continue to currently manage our $1.7 million countywide contract sewer maintenance program, supplementing our in-house efforts to reduce sanitary sewer overflow. It's the CMOM program that everybody's familiar with. As mentioned earlier, and I won't go through all of this, we completed the Boyd's Corner Force Main, which now allows us to keep all the capital dollars coming in from anything below south of the canal. Updated the billing process for commercial food establishment to allow for the annual fees to be collected in part of the, as part of the sewer user billing. This should improve the collection rate for the 1,351 commercial food establishments and give the county more authority to deal with delinquent accounts. We spoke to council about that before. FY16 goals and objectives. We hope to develop benchmarks and improve service delivery as part of our citywide CityWorks program as we gather more data in that program. We implement a new flow monitoring master plan to improve the department's capacity to analyze our sewer system. We're beginning in phase two of the Brandywine 100 rehab program pursuant to the Deneric Secretary order to address deteriorating and aging pipes. Phase one, as you recall, was the ones that we found to have the biggest return for our investment. These are problem areas, but we're not quite as bad as those that we placed under our phase one program. We hope to complete mapping of the county's stormwater infrastructure, and as part of our permit, we'll expand public education outreach efforts for our NPDES stormwater and fat soils and grease program. Again, part of the NPDES permit, continue to work on water quality implementation plans to meet TMDLs and required effective impervious area reduction, which will be in the Christina River and Dragon Run areas. And challenges maintaining expected service levels without increasing staffing levels and resources. Past reductions have already caused some maintenance deferrals, which we will take us a while to correct. The rising operational costs, coupled with budgetary controls, have resulted in a reduction in our purchasing power needed to operate not just the sewer system, but everything else in the general fund. And we will continue to plan and design upgrades to the sanitary sewer system to responsible asset management, which is part of our goal with our CityWorks program. Going to page 17, vacancies. Currently have 25 vacancies in the sewers. Four of those are unfunded. You may note on here, one of our positions, we have three vacant MEO3 positions, or MEO2 positions. I'm awaiting the approval of the CAO to hire one of those positions, and we've received tentative approval to hire the two others. I have a name submitted for the one. Service request coordinator, we are trying to resolve as part of the CityWorks program what we want that position to do. So we're not sure whether it's going to be a service request coordinator or work order coordinator, maybe a data inputter. But once we've had a little bit of time to have CityWorks under our belt, we'll have a better sense of how we have to use that position. We know it's needed, we're just not sure what we want to term, the term we want to put to it. There's a service request coordinator for environmental operations. There's also one for plant operations. And that's the one that we hope to be able to implement. Questions on vacancies? Okay. From that point on, it's into the weeds. If anybody wants to get into the weeds in the contract for service request.
Can I go back? Wayne, just on page 17, electrician apprentice, I guess, has been open for a while. Then I see a senior electrician just opened up. That's on the bottom half of page 17. is any of those going to be taken care of, the electrician apprentice? Because it seems like us in the trades, if that person would have been hired at that particular time, the mobility up could have taken care of one of those, and then...
I would like to say yes. I can't say when they will be hired. The hiring process with Newcastle County, we've talked about before, can be somewhat laborious, unless if you're in public safety, I gotta admit. Gosh, I never knew how life used to be so great.
Yeah, well.
Have you thought about funding a special services academy?
We're open to suggestions, let me tell you. Just in the past couple months, we've a couple positions we've been hiring, trying to hire. And the process is so elongated. Even when you get approval to hire, it is frustrating. So I asked my HR person, Kelly, to list the steps. There are 8 steps to hiring in Newcastle County. Step 1 is the initial creation of a requisition by the general manager. So I send an email, and it goes to the budget department. The budget department makes a determination whether there's money for this. It then goes to the CAO for approval. But it's really 2 kinds of approval. One is if I don't have a list, in which case I ask the CAO for approval to advertise for the position, to begin the process. The process. Now, if I have a list, I ask for permission to select a person. Once that's done, it then goes back to the chief financial officer to again check the budget. Particularly if I need to bring somebody in at above a step 1, which frequently you need to do if you're going outside, somebody has good qualifications. It then goes back to the CAO for approval of the candidate. Then, when you think you're there, it goes to HR for the hiring. That's a good 2 to 3 week process. And what's frustrating, and because it's happened in the last 3 weeks, you offer a position, they have a background and a medical check, and a drug screen. I've had 2 that I don't know why, but they just didn't pass. Then I had 1 that everything was there, and they decided that they had another job, but they wanted to stay on the list. So we're back to step 3. It's rather frustrating.
Did you say 8 steps?
8 steps.
Minimum.
Sound like 80. We have Councilman Weiner, and Councilman Redden, and Councilman Kilpatrick.
That's not even the hiring process. Because if you've got to get a list, then there's the advertisement process. There's the advertising process. In fact, I'll let Kelly do this because I wouldn't do true justice. Kelly, could you explain, once we get approval, to fill a position that doesn't have a list?
Sure. Kelly Tomchek, Human Resources. Once we get approval from the CAO to create an eligible list, we post the position using the posting process that you're all familiar with. You get copies of the postings. We have an extensive list of recruiting that we do. We send to all types of agencies, universities, and different colleges, so that takes a little bit of time to get all that out there. The posting stays open per whatever the contract for that specific position stays, it stays open for the length of time that's quoted in the contract, in the specific contract. Once that closes, we review all the applications for their qualifications, and because of the extensive recruiting that we do, so we sometimes receive hundreds of applications for various positions that we post. Once that's done, we have a testing process we go through. Sometimes that's just maybe an oral board interview examination, or if there are more steps added because of the receipt of a lot of applications, we may add different tests into the process, such as a written examination or a computerized examination. so that can elongate the process as well. Generally, filling a position to an eligible list from start to finish can take up to 6 months sometimes. We like to keep it at 3. That doesn't usually happen because we have a small staff, of course, in HR, and we're posting a lot of positions. It takes a while.
Does that include the selection interview process?
Once the list is established, we do have a selection interview process where we select the top 5 on the eligible list and interview them with more of your traditional type interview, not necessarily a test. And then we can select from there. The GM selects at that point.
I'm going to go to Councilman Weinberg real quick. The only thing I'm going to say is in 11 years, it seems like the only place it's gotten easier to hire is public safety. And I thought that would be the hardest. Councilman Weinberg.
Thank you. Just two areas of inquiry. One, do you have from the law department an assigned attorney or half an attorney or an attorney and a half? Where are you?
I have 3. I do have 3. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
they're part of my halves in there. Half capital, half sewer. One's full general fund.
Very good.
Some variation. They all add up to 3, though.
May I ask who serves as your attorneys?
Mary Ann Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Ann's been with us for a while.
Yes.
Let's see. Marlene White.
Yes.
And Aisha Gregory.
Very good. Thank you. Wanted to ask about City Works. I know it's a very versatile format that it provides that allows you to do efficiencies and planning in the future. And through NACO, we had a lot of presentations on City Works. So I'm interested, when did you start using City Works? How much have you integrated them in? And where do you see yourself going with City Works in the future?
Jason, I know Jason is. Jason is my City Works guru, and he's actually, if I had to identify the parents of the project, he's part of the parents of the project. So, Jason, feel free to.
Jason Zern, Special Services. I guess the project started towards the beginning of 2013, I believe. The first groups to start using it were the Stormwater Group within the Engineering Division. We also are using it as a project management tool within the engineering division. And the fall group is also doing it to log their inspections. From there, it went, I believe, to the sewer maintenance construction support groups. I believe they went online and started using it at some point this fall. The project is going to continue through the rest of the department, plan ops, building maintenance, parks maintenance, wastewater treatment plants, with the idea that everybody's using the same software to enter the data, do reporting, analyze trends, things like that.
In terms of getting a hold of your stock of equipment and wear and tear and future planning, have you fully integrated City Works?
I don't believe it's been fully integrated at this point. I'm not an IT person, so I think there's been a lot of challenges through integrating with the different databases that we have. For instance, the M4, which holds our fleet information. I'm sure there's various other databases. PeopleSoft, there's an effort to integrate with PeopleSoft, which is our employee database. So I believe there are steps being made to try to integrate as much as possible with everything. There are pros and cons. Everything's possible if you have enough time and money, but that might not be the wisest thing to do. So it will always evolve, always improve. So.
Well, thank you, Jason. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just want to follow up on that Councilman Weiner's question. One of the first things, and none of us ever mentioned it, but it's really one of the critical things, is we've integrated our warehouse into City Works. So we have much better
inventory control. Very good.
Councilman Retta.
Thank you. Wayne, you said you had about 20 people that you can hire or you need. You got 25 here.
25. We got 25 vacancies.
But there's 4 unfunded?
Yes.
Okay, the rest are funded, right?
Right, so.
So.
21 funded vacancies.
Right. So if they're funded, where's the money? Why do you have to go to, why do you have to go and find out if there's money there if it's already funded?
I just follow the process.
It seems like a dumb process. In plain language. I mean, if you got the funding and you need the personnel, I do know you need it in construction support. Just to clean the cricks out. And they've been hollering for more people in that division for a while. And it's always funded, but now you got to go find the money. So sounds like it's Chinese money here. It's not real. I mean, if you have it, why do you got to go back? I mean, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead. You may answer.
I heard you say dumb, I couldn't help myself.
Let me introduce my friend from finance.
All we're doing in the finance office is checking to make sure the position's been approved in the budget, which is basically a 5 or 10 minute process. When Wayne's giving you all 8 steps, the piece in finance is probably the shortest and quickest piece of the whole puzzle. And we do have had occasions in the past where we've had requisitions come through where the position didn't exist, or it was kind of a mystery of how it got there. So we're kind of the catch-all before it gets to HR and the executive office to continue on its way for the final process. So we never have an issue with the funding of it. It's more of making sure the position actually exists and it's what was approved in the department's request.
You got a position right here, Councilman Sheldon brought it up, an electrician apprentice, which is back in 11, and that guy would right now be a mechanic.
Oh, I agree, sir. I have 10 vacancies in finance that are right back behind services that we love to get in the system.
I know for 7 years I've been bugging Barry about getting an apprentice program, and now we got one, and now we're not using it.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just like what it is. We got it, but we're not using it. We're just leaving it set.
The department do a very good job in budgeting and making sure that they're putting in for positions when they're approved and when it's necessary. It's just the process has been a little slow.
Yeah, we better get this process moving. Thank you.
Have authority over the.
Yeah, I know.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, then Dillard, then Corey, and Councilman Curry.
Is this the process that has always taken place, or is this a new process?
There's always been a process.
Well, I understand there's always been a process. Has there been an 8-step, 4-year process?
I don't think many years ago it was quite that laborious.
We've, in the last 2 years, Dave Belgrande, Finance Office, in the last 2 years we've added 2 more steps to help with the diversity process. Essentially, which goes through the executive office just to ensure that HR and departments are going through the proper channels and steps and advertising for the jobs to make sure that we have a diverse applicant pool coming in for these positions. So there's that step was added, along with the CAO, the executive office, reviewing the selection. That's the second step that was added in the last 2 years.
And approximately how long does it take for, if you send a list over, how long does it take for each step? Like, you send it over to the CAO, is that priority that he's going to do that today, or is that going to be in 3 months you're going to hear back that, yeah, this was fine or it wasn't fine?
It could vary from case to case, depending on departments and need and urgency and so forth. I mean,
because, you know, and I know that we're under sewer, but if I go and look at the overall vacancies, I mean, we're up in, I'm going to say 36 if I take out all of the unfunded ones.
You're right.
You know, I'm seeing some on the general side that are vacant since 4 of them, 2 of them since 2007, and 2 of them since 2006. As far as I'm concerned, and I do not obviously speak for council, but as far as I'm concerned, if they're vacant beyond a certain number of years, they're gone. They're not funded anymore. Why would you continue to say that you need them if we can leave them vacant that long?
We're passing out. Thank you so much, Brad.
This is an annual budget discussion.
I have several of these documents.
Almost looks like we set that up, doesn't it?
I have the document for you. Miraculously, this is not the worst situation we faced. Actually, it's the best in about 8 years.
But it's bad.
No argument. I only have 47 vacancies this year, which is down from 49 the previous year, and down that from 51, and then from that to 66. And in FY12, it was 71. 11, it was 67. 10, it was 57. 53 and 9. We have to go back to 2008 when life was better.
And better because the economy was better when we had the money to say absolutely, definitely, we could hire these people, or some other reason.
Well, I think that largely is it. I mean, because the economy was different.
Yeah, because, I mean, as long as I've been here, we have cut. And personnel is our biggest amount in each department, so it made sense to say, okay, well, we can cut down on personnel. But you get to a point, like the vacant since 06 and 07, you know, you get to a point where how can you even say you need these people anymore? Somebody has taken up the slack.
Well, that's where overtime becomes a big issue. Mm-hmm. That's where overtime.
And do we have a handout for that, too?
Well, we do. You got it?
I don't have 13 copies.
I didn't think you were going to ask that one, but we do have it in case somebody did.
This also serves the purpose of the fiscal note. We'll get the fund from other departments.
Right.
Well, I know.
This is a holding place for the fund.
Right.
For the other departments.
And I get that.
Can we go to Councilwoman Diller now?
Sure.
Okay. She make copies? Okay, yeah, good. Copies are being made.
Do we have anything called a continuous posting here?
I defer. I think they do that in public safety.
That's true. Kelly,
Top Tech Human Resources, in the Department of Special Services, we do not have continuous postings.
You have to get permission every time.
Well, that's my question, is that if you have, I mean, I'm looking, too, at both of the vacancy lists that, you know, we have here, and it seems to me that some of these, you know, if you are so specialized that you probably need to have them on continuous posting to even get a cert list to hire from. I mean, I guess that's my question is that, you know, do we need an overview of, you know, clearly the hiring process, you know, some of these, I mean, I can't imagine why you wouldn't have an auto mechanic on continuous posting. You know, you need five of them, or a maintenance and construction worker. I mean, these are not people who probably require additional testing or, you know, I guess I'm just confused as to why you need a new list for things that you hire a lot of. I mean, continuous posting seems like a sensible idea for a number of these positions.
Councilman Cartier?
Yeah, thank you. in studying, and this chart is very helpful in trying to really get an idea of where the department stands. And I'm extremely concerned that, you know, we went from a vacancy rate of around 8 positions in sewer and through the FY 2005 through 2007. Now we're in 2016, we're down 25 positions. We are operating under greater maintenance requirements under federal and state, you know, consent decrees. Are we able to maintain the maintenance schedules, the enhanced maintenance, sewer cleaning, and all the enhanced programs that we're required to maintain, you know, with this level of vacancies in the sewer division?
Overtime.
He doesn't have
overtime. That's what we're doing.
Just hand.
Okay. All right. If I could, Mr. Chair, have a follow-on. So, in your department, you know, we're maintaining the buildings in the county. We have the sewers.
you know, essentially all the hard assets in terms of what's built is really in your department. One of the things that I'm concerned about there in the built environment is, as I recall, you know, we've done a good job getting our hands around all of the stormwater facilities that are out there in the county and all the subdivisions and commercial properties. We've done a lot of great work with that and rolling them in the program. And the program goes, as I understand it, that the owners are required to be either the home maintenance corporations or the commercial owner are required to do the minor maintenance. And then we are the fallback on major maintenance for these facilities. Is that the case? So what are we looking at there? I mean, is this, you know, a lot of these things were built in the 80s and 90s. Now we're looking at, you know, oh, do we have any sense of the scale of this type of infrastructure replacement that we're going to be facing in the coming years? Are we planning for it? You know?
I will turn this over to the expert on that, Mike Harris.
We are, and we did a presentation a few sessions ago, and I think it showed that we're on the kind of on the downward curve. We fixed all the historic problems, and we're kind of like leveling off, and we're, you know, the new things that come up, we're meeting, and we're, I mean, problems are being solved pretty much on an equal basis now. A lot of that's contractual. We send that out.
Sending out the bid, but are we going to get to a point where we're going to get a, you know, a big, you know, huge amount of these things that have to be done, you know, and, you know, are we just sort of phasing them along as they come along? I just don't want us to get into a situation where, you know, we've got 100 ponds we have to rebuild and replace in a 2-year period or something like that, you know.
I can send you some information. We have really good data on that, and I think we're okay.
I was just going to add, Tracy Searles, we got almost $9 million in state money a few years ago, if you remember that, and that was in recognition of some of these older areas where the state pitched in as well, and we really, with that money and ours, we really, that's what Mike's saying, where we're a little bit more on the downward curve and steadying out, because I think with the help of the state, we really took care of that. And now we have regular inspections that we didn't have, you know, 15,
right,
20 years ago. Also with the UDC, it established an escrow fund. So UDC and after plans are putting in dollars for this type of work. So that's kind of planning for the future as well. So just putting these things together, that's why we feel better going forward.
I mean, what is the life expectancy of your typical stormwater, you know, pond that you find out there? I mean, a lot of these, you know, just to draw, you know, my concern, you know, a lot of them use galvanized steel outfall pipes, which don't last. You got storm events, silting going on. I mean, they may be mowing the grass and keeping the trees out of these, you know, ponds, but, you know, Where are we in terms of the life cycle? A lot of these ponds out there, and where are they're going to be replaced? You know,
we Mike Harris, Special Services. We, you know, we figure about 20 years of life cycle. A lot of it in the late 70s, 80s, 90s, particularly in the Pike Creek Oquesson area. You're right about corrugated metal pipe. You know, we replace with concrete every time we get in or up on the pond, but I think we've been past that peak, and I think we're
okay.
It's a valid concern, but I think we're, you know, on the downward peak.
One last follow up to that. What about all these you know, newer types of systems that you know, are not typical pipe and pond, but are, you know, biofiltration, bioswale, you know, and what are we looking at with those systems? And, you know, my concern is, you know, you got motor oil, radiator fluid going in these, you know, systems are treating the water quality and the volume, you know, what's going to be required when we go to do major replacement work on those systems.
Well, I think there's a lot of unknowns with the systems now. I mean, we're already down that road. We can't turn things around. That's been a national thing to get green infrastructure.
Right. You can give us a nice special services presentation on new options that are available.
Yeah. The best management practices have not, we don't have the history that we do in the past.
And before I go to Councilman Powers, I'm going to be the monster in the room again. Every time this topic comes up, it says we're on the record. I go on the record to remind the legislation that was passed on the Stormwater Pond Rehabilitation says that Newcastle County may incur the cost of rehabbing. Doesn't say we will. It still says may. Nobody's changed that yet. Councilman Powers.
Yeah, it's a may, but it's thrown into our MPDS permit for sewage treatment. So that becomes a real shutdown of the plant and everyone else's toilet will stop. But we did have a presentation recently, and I think compared to when I first got on council, a lot of those galvanized pipes were falling apart. And we've got a schedule, and I think we're finally ahead of that schedule. A lot of the area that some of the other councilmen gained from me had older systems that were deteriorating 6-8 years ago. A lot of them are in a lot better shape than they were. But we need to go to concrete or plastic. No.
Or plastic.
Or no, get, don't use galvanized. Or aluminum.
Mr. Mayor, you got any more good money news?
Well, on page 30, we have sewer fund fees. The second line item, $670,000 for wastewater dump fees. Council passed the modification in the rates. We've seen an uptick. It's not where we want it to be yet, but since October, when the new rate took effect, it's been continuous improvement every month. In so far, for the month of March, we're up at $52,000 compared to $46,000 last year this time. So it's trending in the right direction. We picked up 4 new customers in January, and we reclaimed 4 former customers that came back to us. So we think that that will truly be an improvement of what we've had just by lowering the rates. And anticipate approximately $1.1 million in various sewer fund fees. And if there's no questions, we can go to the general fund.
I have one question if I go to Councilman Ritter, because I looked through this part of the book, part of your budget, and didn't see it. Anywhere in there, is there an expenditure for grant writing services that I missed?
It's in there someplace.
Happy to it's under environmental compliance in their professional services. So it's $12,000. It doesn't stand out to you that that's what
Well, you did the other. So you're on the hook as well.
Can I ask a question?
After Councilman Rep.
Oh, sorry.
You're up. Okay. Thank you.
Wayne, there's myself and another council person asked about the inspections on 20-year ponds by doing it instead of one-time fee, a yearly fee, which would be based on everything as it increases and everything. Where are we at?
Gosh, we haven't had a conversation of that for about a year.
I know.
Should I put that on my list of items we should talk about again?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Annual fee.
Yeah, instead of one-shot fee of the first time, usually, and then we don't have any more after that. But we still pay higher wages, higher benefits, and everything else goes along with it.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. To go back to the $12,000, was that as part of FY15, or just is that new for FY16?
Kathy, it's in our FY15 and FY16.
And so if you paid your fair share of the $90,000 grant 96. Line or whatever it is.
96,
sorry. Can you tell me what your department has gotten back from that in grants?
I'm sorry.
There was a sidebar here. Can I have that question?
Okay, so you paid your fair share of $12,000 in FY15 out of a $96,000 grant. What has your department gotten back in grants for your purchase of that contract?
I'm unaware of any grant that we currently have as a result of that. I know I met, I think general managers did twice with grant writers. One meeting, we met with them to speak about what we do, where we would like to find additional funding. So we're old buildings, parks. Then we had a second meeting where there was, I don't know, 12, 14 page document, visible, rather sizable document. Where the general managers looked through to see grants that were out there at the time, if there's anything that seemed to match what we were looking for. At that time, I couldn't find anything, but I knew that's a fluid operation, so they were charged with trying to identify, based on our needs, should they come up with any federal programs that would be worthy of applying for.
Because this isn't necessarily a comment on this department, but we seem to be spending a lot of money on grant writers and studies and things that supposedly are moving us along, but I never see that we get any movement out of them.
I would agree. And based on the response, say it's fair for this, it's fair for me to say, let's say me, because Lord knows I don't want to put all of council in the same newspaper article. Is it fair for me to say that you're not aware of any grant applications that were submitted to the federal government?
I'm not aware. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
Yeah, that's why I prefaced my remarks with that. I would ask for it, but I plan on retiring within the next 20 years.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. Wayne, you said you were in some meetings with the grant writers. Do you happen to know who in the county has the overall responsibility for that contract?
I want to say purchasing.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge.
All right, any other questions from any members of council on sewer? And then the public?
Okay. The Green Book, general fund. We have 193 and a half positions. That's a decrease of one position from last year. But in 2005, we had 258 positions. Page three, you can see that from FY15 to FY16, we decreased in our overall budget by 9%. That's going to be the devil in the detail on that one. On page four, the pie chart in the upper left-hand corner, you can see that all three of our major operations within the general fund, fleet operations, facilities maintenance, property maintenance, each require about 27% of our total general fund budget. And if you go into the bottom right hand on a more normal pie chart for government, 58% of the cost of personnel costs, 13% are material and supplies, and 11% are our contractual services. And in the bottom left hand corner, you'll see IGS credits, fleet charges, $11.5 million. That is a charge back. We absorb a lot of the fleet costs in our budget, and then that credits back. So you'll see that's where the the reduction actually takes place in our budget. Page 5, again, the personnel issues. Back in FY09, we were 22 and a half positions, now down to 193.5, one down from last year, and we'll cover that a little bit later. Diversity within the general fund. The overall breakdown by race, 85.4%, white 11.1%, black and 3.5% Hispanic. And again, the seasonals, as I noted earlier, the same number of both reports, but it's 53.3% black, 46.6% white, and at the end of calendar year 14. On page 10, we start the detail of the budget. Salary and wage, there's a $100,000 reduction. That's largely due to the movement of one position, which is a public work contract officer, which we moved from the Special Services Department to purchasing. I think you remember that discussion earlier in the fiscal year. Salary and wage seasonals, that's increased, and that's largely increased because we truly rely upon our seasonals in our parks. There's a document which I didn't make copies of, but we could make copies of, where we talked about the reductions over the years. Property maintenance, since FY06, lost 26 positions. Facility maintenance lost 17 positions. So many of the tasks we've been able to fill in with seasonals during our time. Growing residency.
And wouldn't part of this also be due to the fact that this council agreed to increase the base pay rate that we're paying as well?
To the $10 club?
Yes.
Yeah. Salary wages overtime, again, a $72,000 increase. That's historically due to monies that we spend both in fleet, property maintenance, and facilities maintenance. The significant expense under the salary and wages category, obviously, is salaries, permanent salaries, $9.3 million. And salary and wages overtime is approximately $500,000. Under the benefits package, the permanent benefit package increased by 88%, $30,000, I'm sorry, largely due to the 1.5% increase in our benefit package. Benefit overtime, again, directly relates to our overtime increase. That benefit package for permanent employees is about $5 million in the general fund. Training and civic, which is where most of our dollars are for training and civic affairs, remains constant to last year. The largest part of that is for training, conference, seminars. $19,000, that's certifications for training, safety flag training, confined space training, all kinds of training necessary for certificates. Under communications utilities, we reduced our gas heating by $9,000, again, historical spending. Our electric service is $848,000, substantially less than the sewers. These are the building costs running our operation. Under materials and supplies, we've reduced our gasoline by approximately $200,000 and our diesel fuel cost by about $100,000. Having said that, we're still asking for $2.1 million for fuel for next year. The next chart, the largest chunk of money after fuel is vehicle supplies, $702,000. That's largely for parts for vehicles for all of our fleet. Plumbing, lumber, construction, part of what facility maintenance does on a daily basis, some property maintenance dollars can be found in that area. And our custodial supplies, we're simply our in-house custodians, is approximately $84,000. Under contractual services, the reduction of $51,685 was a result of us canceling a measurement and verification contract we had with Ameresco for the city-county building. That actually works its way into the facilities and a cleaning and maintenance under significant expenses of $442,000. That largely covers asset management, who's responsible for the city-county building, and they've taken care of that MMP portion of what we were paying Ameresco. Equipment repairs, maintenance repairs to the government center's generator. We just put in a new generator, which is solely used for backing up our computer system. Under savings, $65,000 under other equipment and property rental. We will not be renting the generator that we had to rent last year for backup for the computer system. And under the significant expenses, as I mentioned, facilities cleaning and maintenance, asset management is about $443,000.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I'm sorry.
The third-party administrator there.
Yes.
What is that? And is there another grant writer charge in this part of your budget as well?
No. That is it's requested by risk management. That's about all I can tell you.
I see two on for a total of $57,000.
I'm sorry?
No, I see two third-party administrators. One.
The top line is the $12,000 increase.
And the ones that said, and the increase to it.
To it, and that was now $45,000. Right. That's correct.
So that was requested by risk management.
Yes.
Kathy, Mr. Barrett, that's for the insurance.
Your share of the
right.
Outside administration.
Right, for what they do.
Okay.
Correct. Vehicle and equipment repairs, $530,000. Those are the kind of repairs that we don't do in-house. We don't do transmissions. We don't do body and fender work. Just a few things such as that nature, so we always contract out for their services. Another big ticket item is $427,000 for janitorial services. That's outsourcing a public safety building and libraries for janitorial services. And landscaping services, $194,000. That's contracted grass cutting in some of our smaller parks and buildings. In the equipment category, building equipment increased by $14,436. That's directly related to, you'll find the building equipment ESCO, $324,000. That is the eighth year of 15-year loan that we took out as we improved the equipment, electrical equipment. HVAC here in this building. Fixed charges, $85,000 pass-through grant for PAL for cleaning their facilities. Insurance premiums, $377,000, another big ticket item. And insurance, either retention or fees or auto and truck repairs. And last but not least is $2.2 million for IGS costs, intergovernmental service. The for vehicles, $1.3 million. For information systems, about $824,000. Then you can see in parentheses, 11.5 is where it gets all set, since we've absorbed the cost for all the other fleet throughout the county, and we get a credit of $1.6 million. Which is the reduction in the normal service for the end of it. budget increase. The one position, Public Works Contract Officer, transferred to Administrative Services. Accomplishments. We've completed our building needs assessment for the majority of facilities in Newcastle County, Public Safety Building, Government Center, Connor Building, Gillian Building, Libraries, Rockwood, Glasgow, and Carousel Park. And we have begun the design of the Route 9 Library. We installed one cooling tower and a new boiler system as well as a booster system for domestic water and public safety. This adds redundancy, and we've performed security upgrades there. We anticipate completing the design of the Odessa Paramedic Station within this fiscal year. We plan on completing design and entering into the construction phase for the Hermitage at Glasgow Park. Did a lot of work at Carousel, replacing siding, painting, stall upgrades, play structures. Hopefully most of the council's been up there and seen all those improvements. We coated the entire roof at Rockwood, complete design and bid process. We hope to complete that. It's going to probably take us into the early part of 16 to complete the design process for the conservatory. The Police Academy shower facility is just about completed. That should be done within the next couple weeks, which will have the new locker room facilities and exercise room. As I noted earlier, we replaced the emergency generator of the subsystem at the Government Center. Maintain and improve many existing trails in Iron Hill Park with over 700 recorded volunteer hours. Upgraded playground equipment in several of our communities. And maintain a continued overall fleet availability rate of 93%. Goals for FY16, begin the master plan for District Park 5 in the Red Line area, which is known as the Trust Property. Begin the update of the 20-year park acquisition and development plan for our fleet. And investigate the cost and implications of an upgrade of our M4. This is the only thing. City Works does not extend to our fleet operation. We have the M4 system, but there is a web-based system which we would like to take a look at, known as the M5. And challenges, continue to be responsive to all our customers, internal and external, and providing quality service in light of the challenges of staffing and budget cuts in the areas of material supplies and contractual expenses.
Mayor, I think I see part of your problem. Number one bullet on goals of objectives to fill staff vacancies. They're looking at your budget and say, oh, he didn't put it there, he don't want it. Let's keep the savings account.
Which leads us to 16 in vacancies.
I thought it would be a good little reference point.
We've got permission to advertise a couple positions in fleet, supervisors, grad supervisors, and the equipment coordinator. Also, our central receiving supervisor in internal services, which is our warehouse operation, we've got permission to advertise. Our civil engineer 2 under project planning, we have selected an individual. It's an internal issue, and we're waiting for final approval for that to occur. Subject to questions.
Any questions from members of the council?
And again, we can get into the weeds, and if you prefer not to, we can go right to page 31. Which is our fees, fee structure. $530,000 is essentially the reimbursement from the city of Wilmington, 70% costs for the escrow reimbursement. Interesting to note under item 6, golf course flat fee. We've renegotiated with Billy Casper on that, we're getting a flat fee of $85,000, which is more than we've gotten by some of the previous subsets that we would deal with them. When they had to meet certain levels, we would get the 5%. We were having a hard time meeting those levels. I think the basic fee, and Paul, is there, what was the basic fee prior to all three special services?
On average, we would get about $64,000 per year based upon certain percentages of their gross revenues that they achieved in the golf course.
So
take away those thresholds, now we just get a flat $85,000 per year.
Overall, we're looking at approximately $1 million in various fees. And open to any other questions.
Any questions, any members of council? Anything from the public? Well, I would like to thank you. Very open and forthcoming budget presentation. Hearing none, so a motion.
Second.
Oh. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Those not voting? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.